American identity is deeply grounded in the belief that everyone, no matter who they are, is entitled to certain rights and liberties. But what happens when one of those freedoms, a nearly unfettered right to own guns, upends a calculus that safeguards others? A team of AP reporters traveled across the country in an attempt to find out how the freedoms Americans cherish can be protected when the threat of mass shootings, neighborhood violence, and self-harm casts such a long shadow. Their reporting, titled Freedom Under Fire, captures the rising tension between two beliefs. To many Americans, gun violence feels like a growing threat to some of the freedoms that give meaning to everyday life. To many of their fellow Americans, equally wary of menace, the right to guns is an essential means of protecting precious liberties. With friction mounting, many are struggling for answers.
Anybody who follows the news in the U.S. knows that mass shootings, unfortunately, are not new. But having so many of them happen in such a compressed period of time forces you to think about things in a new way, to pay attention in a different kind of way.
That's AP reporter Adam Geller.
The one thing that really jumped out at us was that all of the victims in these shootings were just trying to pursue the small joys that make life in the U.S. worth living. It went well beyond being for guns or against guns. It was more this sense that, is there anything people can do or any place they can be where the threat of shooting isn't an unfortunate reality?
The reporting took months and began with a deep examination of the data.
The first thing we noticed was that, you know, during the first half of this year, we had a record number of mass killings in the U.S. Beyond that, though, when you look at the number of Americans who die in shootings each year, that has gone up more than 20% in the pandemic years. And in 2021, about 49,000 Americans died of shootings. And we started looking at, you know, how those people died. Mass shootings get the attention, but they're still a relatively rare event. It was all the other kinds of shootings, the people killed in street violence, domestic abuse victims, people killed in accidents, suicides. And it was that full breadth of shooting deaths that really spoke to us and said that there was something we needed to do.
Parsing through the data was one thing. Finding victims and families of victims of gun violence and gaining their trust to speak freely about their traumatic experiences presented a bigger reporting challenge.
This is a subject that people feel really intensely about. And we were asking people to talk not just really about guns, but really about their lives and how they felt exposed in some way. And that is not an easy thing to ask somebody to do.
One person who did speak to the AP was Janet Paulson.
It was about 6:45, it started to get dark, and I pulled into my garage. As I went to grab the door handle to get out of the car, I glanced in my side view mirror and I saw him leaning against the garage wall, only about 3 feet from me, and he was cocking a gun. And I heard pop, pop, pop.
AP Legal Affairs writer Mary Claire Dale interviewed Paulson.
She went to the court during a time that she was trying to leave a troubled marriage. Her husband had more than 70 guns in their home. She got a protection order. In Georgia, that does not come with a gun surrender. But in fact, her husband violated the order. So a few days later, there was a gun surrender order. So police went and removed 70 guns from the home. But because the policies really vary from place to place, and they're not cut and dry, the sheriff's deputies, according to Janet, did not believe they had the right to look in his vehicle that was in the driveway, where he was known to also keep a weapon. So 5 days later, her husband ambushed her in the garage. He had moved out by then, but she had moved back in with the kids. And, you know, he ambushed her in the garage and shot her 6 times before taking his own life. Janet did survive. She is partially paralyzed, and she believes that, you know, it's her mission now to work really hard on this issue and try to keep as many women and family members as well safe.
I'm always looking for somebody to pull a gun and start shooting. You know, it seems illogical, but once it's happened to you, it's like your brain becomes, you know, rewired to look for that danger
everywhere you go. And I have to believe that one day there's going to be more of us that have been affected by gun violence than those of us that haven't.
That's more and more the kinds of conversations we had in pursuing these stories. One of the things that stays with you, and I'm not diminishing the way that the families of victims feel by any stretch, because that's what people often see. Beyond that is what you hear from people on the edge of the violence, people who were supposed to be in a certain setting, but maybe kept their kid home from school or were late that day or whatever it was. And it's that sense that it could have been me, that sense of jeopardy, of threat, of looking over their shoulders, of where is it going to be okay? And that was really unsettling.
I'm Jaime Holguin, reporting on the story behind the AP story. For more on Freedom Under Fire, go to apnews.com.